All right. Thank you, Danielle. So little time to get the job done. Harvest to be over. Thank you for that message and song. I thank the choir for the hard work that must have went into that stuff. You never know how much talent is being hidden until somebody is inspired to do something. Amen. And apparently they got some inspiration there from Brother Cruz, because I could see his face, you couldn't, and he was enjoying it. I do appreciate it. Open your Bible tonight to Psalms 90. I guess this will go along with maybe some of the choir stuff, and I was thinking even as Danielle was singing that, so little time. I want to speak to you a little bit tonight on the subject. I've probably done this sometime before, but it won't hurt again, on numbering our days. That's what Psalms 90 is talking about here. And, you know, man is a marker of days. He's a marker of time. He uses calendars and clocks and so forth. Yes, and we keep up with birthdays also, don't we? Sure do. Somebody said, what do you think about it? I said, well, I tried to forget it, and a lot of folks kept on reminding me about it. And they know how old I am. Several years ago, when I began to realize that was happening to me, somewhere in my 50s, I guess, Brother Pitts was very encouraging. Is he here tonight? Is he? There he is. He was very encouraging. He said, just remember this, preacher. You'll never be as old as you look. He has that encouraging way about it. However, have you looked at him lately? He is getting older too. Amen. It comes around. Psalms 90. Lord, that has been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carest them away as with a flood. Talking about the years. They are as a sleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. We all know the song, don't we? We'll fly away. Verse 11, who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So, because of all this we've read, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, for we may, that we may rejoice and be glad. Look at this, and be glad all of our days, not a few of them, but all of them. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto thy children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Establish thou the work of our hands upon us, yea, the work of our hands. Establish thou it. This is a psalm that many folks know about, because it contains in the midst of it there that the lifespan of man is basically 80 and 10, or 70 years. It says it can go more than that, yeah, if by reason of strength. But also pictured in the psalm, and I'm going to have to clear this throat several times, pictured in this psalm is the fact that life is a struggle. And yet it ends up praising the Lord and thanking God for his mercy and the beauty of our Lord be on us and so forth. Now, man's lifespan through the years started off in hundreds of years in the Old Testament, especially in the Genesis and so forth in the creation. But then man's lifespan drifted down. And through the years, many times a person that was only 30 or 40 years old in some places was considered old. But now with the medicines and technology and a lot of things, a lot of people are living much, much older than the 70, and we understand that. I remember the fable, though, that was told, if I can get it right, trying to do it by memory, about when God was creating man and all the creatures, that he set them all at 40 years. But man complained and said it wasn't enough. So the horse said, okay, I'll give him 10 of my years. And the dog said, I'll give him 10 of mine. And the monkey said, I'll give him 10 of mine. So that added 30 more years to the 40, and he got his 70. Remember the fable? Now, the moral of the story is this, that man does pretty good till about 40, and then the next 10, he just horses around. And then the next 10, he lives a dog's life. And the last 10, he just monkeys around. Now, a little fun there, but with all truth, man outlives most animals. Now, there's some cases with some creatures, I understand that. But the Lord is telling us here that we need to number our days. Now, what does he mean? He don't mean that we're to sit down and count every one of them necessarily, but he means we ought to understand they do run out, that they are precious, that they are important, that we ought to live them as unto the Lord. And the truth of the matter is, do you ever think about this? Now, the older you get, you will think about it some, about how much time we waste sometimes. You ever think about that? I've seen stats on it. I don't remember. I think I read a stat somewhere where we spend actually 2 years, if we live to be 70, we've spent 2 years in just dressing, just putting our clothes on. I think I know some ladies that may have spent more than that. Yeah. You ever think about things like that? How long, you put something in the microwave and you punch it. Do you understand that if you punch 2 minutes, you're just saying, Lord, I'll give you 2 minutes of my life to eat this coffee or whatever you put in there? That'll bother you if you think about things like that. You ever think like that? Let me tell you how to get over it. So now I'm going to put it in the oven. I'm going to punch 2 minutes, and I'm going to do something else for 2 minutes while I'm waiting on this coffee or whatever I put in there. Amen. You get to thinking about that a little bit later. Somebody wrote a stat, and I forget what it said, but it said how long it was that we spent in life just waiting in line. Now, you know what? The older I've got, I've decided there's nothing I want bad enough to wait in line for. I hate that. I really don't like to. My wife will fuss at me. She'll call me, and she'll say, on your way home, pick up some milk and go to the market. Go to Publix or whatever she says. And she knows what I'm going to do. I'm going to stop at the fast store on the corner. Now, I'll pay more, but I won't wait in line. Amen. And that's worth something to me. Amen. But you understand what I'm saying. The scripture here is talking about our days are precious. Number our days. And I want to talk to you just a little bit about this. Verse 12 says, so teach us to number our days that we can apply our hearts to wisdom. And I like that statement in verse 14 when it says all our days. In verse 14, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Now, God gives us some keys and some help, practical help. And that's all I'm talking about tonight a little bit. I recognize that we sometimes need to take some of the great truths of the Word of God and break them down to where they tire meets the road to help us get by the days and get by the weeks and the years and so forth that come. And let me talk to you about it a little bit. I had a funeral service up in Georgia this week. First cousin, just about 3 months older than me, had passed away, and had the opportunity to go up there and be in the funeral service. And of course, when you do something like that, yes, it causes me to reminisce. Yes, I get a little nostalgic about the things. And Harvey went with me. We drive and got into Georgia a little bit, and he said, look at that red clay bank over there. And you know what flashed in my mind? I can remember how young I was sitting in the back seat of Daddy's car when I got to noticing the red clay. I don't know if things like that get with you, but just kind of brings back memories. Now, most of us here were born in a different America than we have today. You know that. Neighbors knew each other. Hard work was not a dirty word. People that worked hard had respect. Amen. They lived decent lives. They knew right from wrong. They didn't have to go to the psychiatrist to find out what was in their head. They knew what was there. Amen. And I done a little reminiscing this week and enjoyed thinking about it a little bit. Thinking about the cousin I was having his funeral. I remember when he came by in his dad's Model A Ford. It was a coupe, and he was sitting in the cooter hull back there, the little back seat, whatever you call it on one of those things. And Harvey and I had been begging him, we wanted to make a slingshot. He'd made a slingshot, a flip. You know what I'm talking about, not David's sling, but a fork one. You know what I'm talking about? Science, deep science. Amen. I remember that cousin standing up because in the back of that little Ford coupe when they came by on that, just bouncing, hitting the high spots on that dirt road and throwing us out a piece of pre-war inner tube. That's science for most of you. Red inner tube that you could take mama's scissors, if you could slip them, and cut slingshot rubbers out of them. And I remember, as I preached his funeral, all kind of memories coming back. I remember when he did that, sure. And a lot of memories came flooding back in there. And I thought, how quickly it got to be now from those days. Now, 70 plus years from then, but it got to be now awful quick. Yeah. Young folks, you're going to be surprised how it's going to get to be now before you know it. Yeah. It'll happen, I guarantee you that it will. I got to thinking about that and how quickly that time passed. The Bible truth, you know that? The Bible says, what is our life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and vanisheth away. Here in the text, we read how life is compared to the grass. It grows up, it flourishes in the morning, and it's cut down and it withers. It so quickly disappears. How quick it happens. And that's Bible truth. Psalms 90 here tells us, spending our tales, our life, our years is a tale that is told. By the way, Shakespeare gets credit for that. No, he got it out of the Bible. Amen. When he talks about that. But how quickly it gets to be now. I was having my cousin's funeral and I thought about him. A lot of things. He was a mentally sharp young fellow. He was 3 months older than me. And I went up there the summer I turned 14 years old. I worked up there with him in the crops, harvesting the crops. And at that time in the little farmhouse, you still had to walk out the back, drop the bucket down in the well, and pull up a bucket of water with a rope. I would done it all the time. And a lot of folks done it. We thought that was okay. It was all right. I got those memories, and a lot of things. They didn't have a refrigerator in the house. You brought a block of ice from town, and you put it in the top, and you'd be surprised how long it would last. And by the way, the milk got from the cow to the table without being pasteurized. A lot of those things. I thought about that as I was there at his funeral. You know what they did? Now, he got into business, and he did all right. He made enough money to take care of his family, and his kids are doing good and all that. But as he got older, he reverted back to wearing his overalls again. How many of you know what overalls? All right. Denim overalls, all right. Galluses, is that straps? Yeah, all right, there we go. And sometime it was cooler to let one of them loose and let the thing flap down, amen. But they buried him in that. I mean, he looked good, new casket, a nice funeral. A lot of folks showed up, but there he lay right up there in his overalls in the casket. And that kind of stirred my memories back a little bit also. I remember the end of the summer came, and I think maybe he thought a little deeper than I did at that time. We were riding on the back of a wagon pulled by a mule, and his daddy was driving the wagon. I guess we were coming in from work, and it was the last evening, about dark, before I would walk 4 miles the next morning to a bus stop out on the highway and come back to Florida. And we're sitting there as two cousins, 14 years old, 13, he was 14, I was about to turn it. And we had a lot of fun, we worked hard, but about dusk we could go to the mill pond and jump in the water. That would scare some of y'all to death. It was dark water. You didn't know what was at the bottom, but you went in because it was the only water that you could, amen. So we had a good summer like that. And a lot of fun. We get to pitch the baseball sometime with each other before dark. And there we sat, and we was riding on the back of that wagon. And finally Bobby reached over, and he was deeper than I was. He reached over and shook hands with me and took a real serious look in his eye. And he said, "You know what? I don't know when we'll see each other again." He said, "I have really enjoyed this summer." He said, "Now I'll be at work in the morning when you head for the bus stop. And I don't know how long it'll be." Well, you know what? That did kind of end an era. I did see him some. He saw me some through the years. But things change, don't they? And pass on. And yet, I'm thinking about the early days. Days that laid a foundation. I'm thinking about that. And I'd say to some of our young folks here tonight, you know what the Bible says? The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 12:1, "Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth, before the evil days come when you'll say, I have no pleasure now." What's the evil days? Well, it'll be when health breaks, maybe heartbreak, maybe all kind of things that will happen to you along life. But God says, "Remember me all the way. Remember me in the young days. I remember me, the Creator, in the days of thy youth." Don't think, and this is such a mistake we make, and I tell the college students this, don't get the idea, "I'm going to serve God someday. I'm going to go through this course. I'm going to get my degree. Then I'm going to serve God." If you don't serve him now, you never will serve him. And your young days are important. The foundation you're laying now. And it means we ought to number our early days. And then our middle days. My soul, I see older teens that graduate our day school and come on to church for a while, and the pressure gets on, and suddenly they think nobody knows me anymore, and I'm forgotten. They get out on a job with peer pressure that's not the right kind of peer pressure, and the next thing you know, we don't know where they are. They've slipped up. I want to say to you, God's important in your middle days also. I mean, very, very important. You'll get out in that workaday world out there, and you'll hear the cussing and the stories and the talk and see the cheating that goes on, and you'll think, this is the real world. No, that's the devil's world. The real world is where you're at now, in your home, in your church, in your school, when you're learning about the Lord. This is the real part. The devil wants you to get into the false part, and he'll get you there if you give him a chance. I think one of the saddest things, hurts the most, when I think about it, dwell on it, and see it in my ministry, is how many that the devil gets out of our flock, and mainly the young ones. Oh, yes, some of them will come back. Some of them will get their head on straight. Some of them will get their heart right. Some of them will come back, and some of them never will. And they'll go shipwreck their life out there, and that's too bad. But I want to say to you, in your middle years, God still wants to be there. He wants you to be there. My own personal story, I heard the gospel. I got saved when I was 22. Sonia and I got married about a year later, whatever. And we lived for the Lord in the church, serving God, teaching Sunday school, doing all that we could. And we were not out. We didn't have the money, and we didn't have the want to go out there in the world and have a fling. See, we were still staying with God, still numbering our days with him, and not with the world out there. You know, young married person or been married a while, there's a struggle of life. It'll come. There's no doubt about it. You got some mail to open that'll have bills in it and some problems. I don't say you'll never go wrong, though, taking God in on those middle years and staying with Him. Staying with Him. Even you say, I don't know, I don't see how it's paying to serve God. It is. You stay with Him. You stay faithful. You go ahead and attend His house. You give Him the tithe. You take Him in as your business partner, and God will take care of you. He promises He will. And it's a step of faith you have to take, but you need to take it. I want to tell you, this world is a pretender. It's a fake, trying to get you away from God. Listen, you got married to that young lady because she was beautiful. I want to tell you, she can stay beautiful even after she's had six young'uns. If you got God in that marriage, amen. Truth of the matter, beauty is more than skin deep. Somebody said beauty is more than skin deep, but ugly is to the bone. Now we can joke about it some. My wife will know who I'm talking about. None of the rest of you will. But we remember a young couple in our early years, and the young wife bragged that, or said, I don't even let my husband see me without my makeup on. I get up before the family. Nobody ever sees me without my makeup on. A few years later, I heard they got a divorce. I said, he caught her without the makeup. Bless God. Now, I'm joking some. I hope that was a joke. Maybe been more truth to it than you think. Some of you young married couples, you take God into that partnership. It ain't the makeup, brother. Excuse me, it ain't. It's something goes deeper than that. That's that fellowship with the Lord and the fact that you're involved in serving Him. Amen. I mean, counting our days, numbering our days, taking God with us from the early beginning and on through middle life. And it'll take care of the marriage. It'll take care even when you get a bad turn. Some of you young ladies, you've read the fairy tale about kissing the frog and he became a prince. Well, you married your prince and he turned into a frog, but bless God, you can still stay with Him if you got God in there, amen? And you can love the frog to the end, till his last croak, bless God. I'm playing with you some, but numbering our days in the eyes of the Lord are important. Gonna give them to Him? You're gonna live them for self, which is generally the devil's garden and his playhouse, if you're doing that. And it'll work that way. But you know, the devil will come along and make you think, nobody knows about me. I'm not important. Nobody cares. I had for years in my office a little picture on the wall. It was a little old boy, maybe about, I don't know, 6, 8 years old. And he was standing there rubbing his eyes and he was crying big tears. Somebody had hurt his feelings. And the caption on the picture said this, I am important. God don't make no junk. And there's a lot of truth to that. You're important in God's eyes. God knows about you. God wants you to number His days, your days in the sense of living them and giving them to Him and being faithful to Him. I'd say to the young married couples, what you're doing, no matter what the devil tells you, if you're raising a family for God, you are a success. You are important. And you ought to keep that before you. I'll finally say this because I want to hurry tonight. How you live your early days and your middle days is going to turn out how your final days. Amen. Are you going to have a clear conscience when you come to the end? You going to have a clear conscience or a guilty conscience about how you've lived your life? I've seen too many people as a preacher, too many, that gave the devil the best of their days. Gave the devil, I'm talking about giving him first place in their life, as far as I just living for pleasure, that sort of thing. Then on the end, there they are, just some old dry hide and some creaky bones and a little bit of hair, and they say, now, Lord, I want to sell out to you. No, you didn't sell out to God. You gave him the leftovers. You sold out to the devil when you gave your best to him down through the life. Now, all of a sudden, you're numbering the days and they're about up. Now, I better think about God. Now, I understand grace, and I understand you can be saved. I understand about the thief on the cross that repented at the last minute. But I also understand there's a whole lot of folks think they're outsmarting God, having their cake and eating it too. No, 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 no. The final days, whether you have peace in them, will depend on what you've done with the early days when you number your days. It's August 2013. In August, just about a week ago, in August 1984, my dad passed away pretty fast. He passed away at 78 years old. You say, now, preacher, if you go to the calendar, do you realize how old you are? And your dad passed away at 78. It might be getting close to your turn. Could be. Could be. But I want to tell you something. I got peace about it. Because I've been numbering my days with the Lord ever since I got saved. Oh, lots of mistakes. Lots of shortcomings. A lot of things I wish I'd done better. But as a whole, he's been in my thoughts and in my mind and in my actions just about all those years. I thank God I didn't have that peace. I used to claim, just jokingly, that I was going to live to be as old as Moses. Some of you think I have, but I haven't yet. Moses was 120 years old, but you know what the Bible says about him? It says his eye was not dim. And his hand was not slow. His natural force was not abated. Now, I can't claim that. I see some of the natural forces gone and a few other things missing. And I'm not claiming that. I've been joking about it. But the truth of the matter is, numbering our days, if you live today, you've used one that you didn't have yesterday. You're using them up. You're using them up. Time is ticking. Days are going. Isn't it? The older you get, don't you notice? Don't you notice that time is speeded up for you? Yeah. I think about what the poet said over there. He said something like this. He said, when I was a child, I laughed and wept and time crept. When I was a youth or teen, I dreamed and talked and time walked. When I became a full-grown man, time ran. Then as with the years I older grew, time flew. Soon I shall find out as I travel on, time gone. Wouldn't that be the truth if we older folks gave a testimony on that tonight? How quick it got to be now. How quick yesterday passed. And the final days, if you're going to have peace with them, if you're going to number them, you got to number them from God all the way. We got uncertain times ahead. I know that. I know that. This world is a mess. We found out our government spies on us and been doing it for a long time. We found out that Orwell's 1984, Big Brother government has arrived, and there's a lot of people upset about it. We find out that you look at the Egyptian thing going on over there. Nukes are being prepared. Even in the last few days, they talked about Iran having more nuclear means and all of that. Hey, that is disturbing in a way, but it's Bible fulfilled. It's God's predictions coming true. Tells me that he's not surprised by it. I remember, I've preached on prophecy so much, I remember knowing what the Bible said about Egypt and wondering back under, Barak or whatever his name was that they replaced, what a dumb thing, but anyway, it's a lot worse now, but I remember back, it looked like Egypt's not quite fulfilling the prophecy. They've had peace with Israel here for 20, 30 years, and all of a sudden it just unravels, and now it fits the Bible picture real good. And what's about to happen will fit the Bible picture completely. So what? My peace don't depend on that. Don't depend on Islam's trying to take the world over, whether they win or lose. No, sir. My peace goes much bigger and above that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah. If you number your days, you can understand that nothing can happen to you but what God allows it. Give your days to Him. They may not be turning out like you wanted to, and you may find out on the other side they were turning out for the best. One night, it's been a long time ago, one night I couldn't sleep much, and I got up and started reading, and I picked up a letter. Somehow it had got stuck around in some of our stuff, and I had not read it until that night. And it was about a 2-page letter. And it was from a preacher I knew well, and if I called his name, some of you would know him. And he was getting down closer to the final days. His 70 was pushing pretty close. And I read his letter, and it was to me personally. And in that letter, I detected he had a broken heart. His ministry, his life, had not been what he planned it to be. And I thought about that. And he said, when I was a little boy, he said, Daddy told me if I just worked hard, everything would be fine. He said, I'm sad to say I've worked hard all my life and things hadn't turned out so well. But you know what? I was amazed. I read it and I thought about it and I prayed for him. And it wasn't long after that God called him home. And I thought, you know, when he got on the other side, he might have found out he wasn't doing as bad a job as he thought he was. He might have had more reward to go to than he suspected. And I believe he did, honestly. You know, we got fears concerning the final days. Sure, everybody has, no doubt about it. A lot of folks fear old age and the security of old age. You know what the psalmist said in Psalms 37? He said, I have been young, and now I'm old. Young people, listen. These older folks, they have been young. The psalmist said, I have been young, now I'm old. But I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. What does the psalmist say? He said, God's taking care of me. It's okay to trust him. It's okay to number your days with God. Amen? That's what he's basically saying. You know, truth is, if you're going to have peace in your final days, you got to be ready to die. No man is really ready to live till he's ready to die. Oh, what a difference it made in my life when I got saved and realized if death comes quickly, it's just a shortcut to heaven. And I still feel that way about it. I say to you, if you're saved tonight, savor the moment and trust God. Don't declare yourself a failure. God may not have done that. Savor the moment. Your kids are young, savor the moment. You got a happy home now, you're healthy, savor the moment. It could change. It could change very quickly. I say to you, if you're here and you're lost, it pays for you to count your days too. The Bible says, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. You say, well, I'll get saved when I get older. You got no guarantee you're going to get older. We've had the tragic thing this week, tragic to us. Seeing it from God's side, it's probably a victory we'll know about later, but the sad thing to us of Mike going to heaven suddenly, we didn't expect it. Just didn't expect Mike Larson to go like that. I told somebody Sunday night, I walked down the aisle, up the aisle here, and Mike was coming down the aisle. I shook hands with him right about there. Healthy looking young man, hard working young man, yet he's in heaven tonight quickly. That can happen to any of us, young or old. Any time, can it? Sure. But you know what I'd say to you? Savor the moment now. Trust God now. Live for God now. Let God have the pick of your days now. You'll never regret that when the final days come. On the deathbed, you won't regret giving them to God. Tonight, I'd say to you, if you're not saved, don't take God for granted. Don't presume that you're going to have. Don't presume on God that you're going to have time to get saved. How many times you heard the gospel? How many times you said no to it? Every day. Every week, every time you've heard it and said no. My friend, you're numbering the days on the wrong side. You don't know how many more you've got. And I challenge you to come and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. You can do it tonight, even tonight, right here in this building. You can leave that seat, come forward, and we'll pray with you and show you how to receive.